Welcome to The Upgrade, an insightful podcast where we share valuable information that can work in helping you to upgrade important areas of your life. To start off, we'll talk about three different ones, but there's things that every human knows they should do. We all know we should eat healthy. We all know we should exercise. But what are the things that we actually do? Things that we're actually pretty committed to. Obviously, if we travel or we do something or we fall off the bandwagon, totally normal. But just for the most part, things that we don't really stop. And if we do, we're like, we feel it and we got to get right back on. Things we're actually consistent about. What would you say, Carly, is like your number one?
I think starting my morning off properly with putting things in my body that is going to optimize my day. First and foremost, water. Water is like the most important thing to put in your body. First thing in the morning, you need to wake up those cells, hydrate your body, hydrate your brain. So hydrogen water is the only type of water I will actually put into my body. Before I have any coffee, I'm having a coffee right now, but before I have any coffee or food, I drink like Athletic Greens. So it's just like a great way to get like a bunch of nutrients into your body before I have any caffeine or food. Allow my body to digest, my liver to function, and so it can properly break down the foods that you put in later on. So I'll usually wait about an hour or so, an hour to two before I actually even eat any food in the morning.
Actually, Carly and I bought the exact same water ionizer, and it's a Kangen machine, and I've had it for a little bit like shorter than you. I've had it for like 4 months, but yes, it's definitely life changing. Maybe you could go into like the science in the water and like why hydrogen water is the best, most superior type of water that you could put in your body.
This one machine produces hydrogen water and it goes through a process of electrolysis. And they have found a way to replicate water that's found in blue zones around the world. And it's actually living water. And living water in its natural state flows in nature. And so there's different places around the world, Okinawa, Japan being one of them, where it's considered one of the blue zones around the world. And this means that people are living beyond 100. They're living
so crazy,
way longer than most people. And it's their environment. It's the food. It's the food that is grown there. And specifically the water that people are drinking. I don't believe that tap water is safe to consume. Same with bottled water with all the microplastics. Sam and I have invested into a water ionizer that hooks up right into our kitchen. And this is manufactured in Okinawa, Japan. So like I said, where one of the blue zones are. And our machine replicates the same water found in the blue zone there. So there's titanium plates that are dipped in platinum inside the machine. And so the water basically flows through your tap. It goes through the machine, through the process of electrolysis. It's almost like an electric shock. So if you would think of a lightning bolt, when lightning strikes, that's what's happening inside the machine. And it separates the water. It splits it apart into tiny little molecules, which produces molecular hydrogen. This molecule is the smallest molecule in the universe. It's able to penetrate in your cell. It's able to pass the blood-brain barrier, so you actually can properly hydrate yourself.
It's way more hydrating.
Yeah, and it's waking your cells up. It's your brain is like 85 to 90% water. Your body is made up of 70 to 75% water, so it does matter the water you put in your body.
Absolutely.
If you go from drinking like pure hydrogen water and you're drinking that day to day for like, I've been drinking it for a year now, and then you go back and you have a sip of tap water, like, your body like rejects it. It's like, what is this? No.
Yeah. Okay. So number one, water. And it sounds like you have a somewhat of a similar kind of thing that I like to do every day, which is eating light to heavy. So I learned this a long time ago, and like everyone has their different take on breakfast. Some people believe in eating these perfectly powerful protein punched breakfasts. I personally don't like the way I feel after I have a bunch of eggs and a bunch of toast in the morning. I don't feel good, and I just find I'm not even that hungry in the morning. So I just take that as a cue that, okay, if I'm not hungry, my body probably doesn't need food, but I know I'll get hungry. I'm always hungry. So
Sam's hungry.
So basically, I just try to do the same thing. I try to start with water, and if I'm in a more motivated mood, I will do the lemon water with a bit of cayenne pepper and the apple cider vinegar. Just wait about 20 minutes, then jump to the coffee, just because coffee is like very acidic in your body. And then when it's time to eat, lately I have actually been intermittent fasting without really knowing it. I'm like, oh, okay, it's like 11 a.m. or 12. I'm hungry now. I'm like, how did I not like notice I was hungry till then? But like, I'm fine. And I feel better when I eat light to heavy. So that light to heavy, meaning like the first thing I eat, I want it to be something light. And I usually 90% of the time, my breakfast is just a piece of fruit or smoothie, or if I have time, juice. So, and the other reason why, what I've learned why this is really good is because if you think of digestion as like traffic. So if you put a really heavy meal in your body in the morning, it takes time to digest that. It takes a lot of digestive juices and enzymes to break all that food down. And then you go into lunchtime and you have a heavy lunch, and now it's like this still isn't even digested yet. And this is now has to be digested. And then you go into dinner, which usually should be your biggest kind of meal of the day. And then you just have this massive traffic jam in your body of all of these things that take hours to digest, depending on what you're eating. So if you start light to heavy, I mean, it only takes 20, 30 minutes to digest fruit. So that's through you. You get all those nutrients on the empty stomach. And then maybe for lunch, you have something a little bit heavier, maybe like a salad with some type of protein or whatever. And then again, that will just take a few hours to digest. And then if you eat something heavy at dinner, like a steak, which takes hours to digest, you get all of your sleep time to digest that. All of the morning the next day, your body has to digest that steak because that's how long it could take. And then you just go into your light eating again, and then you never have like a traffic jam in your body. And I just feel so much better. And ever since I've learned that, that's something that I have not stopped doing. I really just try not to eat that for the most part, nor do I really even crave it in the morning. So yeah, that kind of ties in with you having your water first and then your green juice and then then your breakfast.
Yeah, like if you think, if you're like waking up and immediately consuming food, like your body's not, you're awake yet, your cells aren't awake, you're, you need to wake up the body first, right? So it's key to, yeah, drink that water and look into the type of water that you're drinking, because that is going to make a huge difference in like optimal body function. Another thing that is super, super important in my daily, weekly routine, I won't say I do it every single day, but exercise. And that can even mean getting out for like a 5-minute walk and just allowing the sun to shine. I think the sun has so many powerful healing benefits to our bodies. And so yeah, just moving your body, getting the blood flowing, whether that's walks, whether that's going to the gym and lifting weights, whether that's yoga, even like breath work. Like if you can sit there and like start to really connect to your body and breathe and do like deep belly breaths and get that oxygen flowing all the way up to your brain, like that is, that's a workout in itself. Like it, I've like done breath work before where I've been like sweating and like I'm like, and then you leave like so energized and you're like, oh my God, I could like, it's kind of the same as going to the gym sometimes, right? So I'm sure you know from experience, if you're, if you spend a day like sitting on your couch and you're not moving, you're probably a little bit sad. Like you don't feel as good as if you get up and you move your body, right?
You don't. And the morning is actually known as the best time to work out, in the morning. Get the blood flowing fast.
Yeah. Drink your water. Do a little bit of movement. Drink your greens.
Set your day up for success, and then you probably won't feel like a blot later. And then at the end of the day, when you want to relax, you feel like you deserve it. Oh, I didn't even say my number one. My number one is spirituality. I have to kind of ground myself in like my creator, who, which is what I believe. I pray every day, and that really helps me connect to like that kind of higher sense of what's out there in the universe. And I feel very connected when I do that. That's something I definitely don't stop doing. And yeah, that just helps me have peace. Like it's, I feel so much more peace when I wake up and I say like, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. Thank you God for this. Thank you God for that. And that really, really, really helps me, honestly, more than almost any health practice that I've ever practiced. So that's become something more consistent. I didn't do it as much when I was younger. Whereas when I was younger, I still went to the gym and like did things. But this has become more of a practice as I age. I'm like, it just feels like something that's really important to do. And that's definitely another non-negotiable for me. So far, Carly, your two are your greens and your water. And my two are eating light to heavy, which includes like the water, and my spirituality. And then this brings us to number three, which, what's your number three?
A holistic approach of like, I don't want to say healing the body, but giving the body what it needs to come back into balance. And so I, like, for the longest time, I've been seeking out health practitioners to aid in bringing my body back to balance.
That's amazing.
Homeopathy, osteopathy and chiropractic, I am just like obsessed with. And acupuncture. I went to acupuncture yesterday. I feel like not one person is going to like completely fix you, but if it's more of a holistic approach, if you can seek out professionals who can bring the body back into balance. Like one of my chiropractors is a brainstem chiropractor, and he focuses on like brainstem alignment, which is like connects your whole spine, right? So like you can have the littlest subluxation in your neck and you can feel anxious, depressed, sleep horribly. Like there's so many things that you can be feeling in your body, and you don't know that it can just be like a quick trip to the chiropractor or the osteopath or the homeopath.
Kale and I are big believers in whatever issue you're experiencing is probably very, very simple to fix. It required a consistent, simple step. So my number three is not staying up too late. I've been doing this one since I was about 30, which makes sense. I have a rule where nothing good happens after midnight. And I feel like I swear by this rule for a few years now, and this is something that I really cherish, like getting to bed at a reasonable hour, waking up at the crack of dawn before the sun's even up. Like I love that time of day when most of the world is usually sleeping at that time, or whatever side of the world you're on, and it's just quiet and it's peaceful, and that's when I do my spiritual connection and my praying and my I'm trying to get on breathwork, which will lead us to the next thing that we're trying to do. But I love those early morning times.
That's so good. I am guilty of the opposite lately because...
Well, you wake up early, Kale.
I have to. I have three kids. I don't have a choice. But I find that like all my creativity, all my creativity comes out at nighttime.
And a lot of people are like that.
I don't know what it is. And I haven't always been this way. But yeah, like all these ideas come to me. I'm like, I got to get it on paper because if I don't, I'll forget it. So I just allow that to flow. Like I'm like, okay. So, but yes, not past midnight for sure. Anything under 7 hours of sleep, I'm just like a miserable slob. So
I know a lot of people that get creative at night. My brother's one of them. My brother's a cinematographer. That's what he studied. And he used to make videos. He used to work for Cable 14, Hamilton, Kojiko. And he just got all his ideas flowing at night.
Like, I think you just have to kind of ride with that. Like you have to flow with that.
Yeah, whatever works for you. Some people, my mom, she will stay up till 6 in the morning. And I'm like,
what?
Do you have a new habit that I don't know, mother? My gosh. But she doesn't. She just can't. And then, but she will not wake up early. She hates it. It makes her feel like I kind of believe that human beings are meant to like live during the daytime. That's personal. Some people don't function that well. But I do think that anybody could train themselves to get to where you're supposed to be. Yeah. Which I think, what do you think, Carly? Do you think
ideally, naturally? I think we're supposed to follow the cycle of the sun and the moon. So when the sun's out,
you're guns up. Out.
And when the moon's out, you sleep. And yeah, I think that even people that work night shifts, like my husband worked night shifts for about a year, and he was not himself. Like,
was he grumpy?
It wasn't even grumpy. He just like was different. It like changed him. And then we were like, this isn't working. So he doesn't do that anymore. But yeah, I think it's really unhealthy to like be nocturnal.
Yeah, I think so. So I wanted to talk about some things that I wish that I did more, wish that I had the nerve to do. And you know what number one is, Kale? It's something you do and you actually freaking have one.
What?
Cold plunge.
Oh, yes.
Tell me what this is like when you do a cold plunge.
It is so invigorating. Like it literally is like, I can't say I've ever like done drugs. Like
good for you.
Maybe like played around with a couple things here and there back in the day, but I'm not like into drugs, but
yeah, I hate drugs.
I feel like what people explain what drugs are is like similar to how you feel when you do a cold plunge. Like I've never done a cold plunge and not felt like I can take on the world. Like it so literally, cool. And there's so many benefits. I know there's so much science behind it. I kind of learned about like cold plunges and cold therapy from Wim Hof. I don't know if you've like heard about Wim Hof. He's the Iceman. So like literally
I've heard of the Iceman.
Breath work and like cold plunges. And he can literally like sit in cold water, like ice water for hours and be completely fine. And anyways, it's good for inflammation. So I know a lot of athletes, professional athletes,
yep,
use cold therapy. It is just, it's the best. We bought one last year.
How much are they?
And you can get one off Amazon for like $100. Like, they're not that expensive. Yeah.
That's it.
And then we just keep it in the backyard. We use it like in the winter, because in the summer you have to continuously buy ice and fill it up. But in the winter, yeah, you just fill it up and you're good to go. Like, in the morning we would go out and there'd be like a layer of ice on top, and so we'd have to like crack it and get in.
Hi-ho.
Get in. Even my children, we got my kids to do it. They were like 9 and 11.
That's freaking crazy.
They loved it. Like, we are all like addicted to it. Once you do cold plunges, you can't go back.
I know. What I did some research today on cold plunging, and it has both immediate and long-term effects, and there's a lot of them. So some of the short-term effects, it actually improves your immunity if you do it, and fat burning. So this was like astounding when I read this today. So when you do and it far surpasses any amount of cardio that you could ever do. A cold plunge surpasses this monumentally. Like, it's actually crazy. So what happens is your blood obviously is moving when you're doing cardio, and it's rushing up to your brain, and it's giving you endorphins. And when you do a cold plunge, that's what happens, except it does it 10 times faster, because your body goes into this state where it's like a little bit shocked and it has to survive. So it shoots oxygen up to your brain so fast. And if you stay in there, like, those benefits are absolutely insane. So I thought that was crazy. So it actually burns fat because of this. More fat than working out an elliptical for an hour would be sitting in a cold plunge tub for 5 minutes. So we all need to get these tubs.
Yeah. And there's a lot of benefits with people that struggle with like anxiety and depression too. I think because like you're getting that oxygen to your brain, right? And
And I'll touch base on that again in a second, but it also builds mental resilience and discipline. So I'm really, really into this amazing human biologist named Gary Brecka. And he's just studied every which way in which the human body functions and diagnosed deaths like down to the T and how they got that way, what could have been done to prevent that death. He's incredible. He got Dana White on this crazy, crazy simple program where he was told he was going to die in 10 years. And Gary Brecka just fixed him up. And just with such simple steps, breath work, sunlight and cold plunging and just things like that are almost like God given, like, which again, that to me brings me back to my spirituality. I just feel like everything that we need in this earth is God given. We already have it, and we don't have to spend like countless amounts of dollars to attain these amazing health results.
Yeah. And it's like, if you don't have, like, if you can't afford to buy a cold plunge, like, go find a cold body of water, like, go sit in a pond, go like sit in a creek, right?
Yeah, go jump in a pond. Go.
There's always ways.
Let's just go jump in a pond. I would do that in freaking Alberta. Oh my God, when I used to live there, the water's so pure there. Like, people jump in cold water. The water never gets too warm there, ever.
At my cottage up north, it's in Algonquin Park. We will go in the lake in like April when it's freezing.
Like, freezing.
We go in, like, we actually last year during the winter, because we go up in the middle of the winter, we have like no running water. Mm-hmm. We completely like live off grid pretty much. Like cut a hole in the lake just enough so we could like get our bodies in, and that was the coldest I've ever done. Like, that was probably the most like mindfulness I've ever had to practice doing a cold plunge.
That's freaking crazy.
And you want to make sure you're breathing, you're not hyperventilating, you're doing breathing, like breath work before you get in, because you want to make sure that you're getting your body ready.
Mm-hmm. So which we'll get into in a second.
Doing like some deep breathing and just like feeling, like allowing your nervous system to feel calm, and then you get in and you continue the breathing.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Gary Brecka, that guy I was just talking about, he has this belief, which I totally agree with, that the aggressive pursuit of comfort is the acceleration of you aging. So what that means is like a cold plunge is uncomfortable, and you're kind of telling your mind who's boss when you put yourself in these uncomfortable situations and become mind over matter, and it makes you stronger. So I read a consistent exposure to cold temperatures allows your mind to get comfortable in a state of discomfort, which will improve your ability to deal with all kinds of stress. So the more you get comfortable being uncomfortable, the better you are at managing stress, which is freaking amazing. So you're teaching your body who's boss. So yeah,
totally mind over matter. Like, I love coming back to like that, because I feel like I was listening to a podcast the other day, and it was Mel Robbins, and she was saying your brain will tell you no because it's trying to protect you.
Yes.
Love that. Like, because it's so true, right? Our brains are designed to protect us. And so if we're constantly not doing things, like you said, staying in your comfort zone, that's not what, like, that's not serving you.
It's not. I wanted to just say one more thing. So people might be confused why you burn fat in a cold plunge, because what is a calorie? A calorie is the amount of heat required at a pressure to raise the temperature of 1 gram of water. So it, like, essentially a calorie is a measure of heat. So when you go in, heat is leaving your body when you go into a cold plunge. So if heat is escaping your body, which also happens when you work out and you sweat, that's heat escaping your body, you're burning calories. So just to make it a little bit more understanding for those who might be like, how the heck am I going to burn fat if I jump in a cold plunge? Okay. And then the number two thing I wish I did a little bit more often would be juicing. Carly, you had a juicing business for a while.
Yes.
Juicing first thing in the morning. Again, that light to heavy.
That's probably like on the top of my list of things I want to start up again, because when I was doing that as a business, I was constantly like providing other people juice. So I always had juice, but it's just, one of those things like it, I haven't done in a while.
And if, again, first thing in the morning. So, 'cause when you have your juice first thing in the morning, you're really absorbing all those nutrients, 'cause it's the first thing that your body is having. But if you have it after, you know, you eat a steak or a sandwich, all of that steak in your sandwich is in your gut and it's getting digested with all your juices. So by the time you drink the juice, it's just been disintegrated by your really strong stomach acids and you didn't even like get that nutritional value from that juice. So if you're going to drink a juice, do it on an empty stomach.
Yeah. And it's also really easy to absorb like juice because it doesn't have the fiber in it, right? When you're juicing like vegetables and fruit, whatever, like it's removing the fiber. And so that's why your body's able to absorb it so quickly. So that's why like juice cleanses can be really, really beneficial. I used to juice cleanses all the time. And honestly, it was a struggle while you're in it, but after you're like, you feel you lose weight, you know, you have so much mental clarity. I feel like I was so much more connected to spirituality. Like there was just so many benefits.
Do you think that if you got back into like your juicing again, you could give up the AG1s, or like could that replace that?
I would still do a bit of both. Like I do, like I said, like mom of three here, busy. If there was a day where like I don't have time to get up and juice, AG1, just scoop hydrogen water, shake. Consume.
shake.
Whereas the juicing obviously takes a bit more time. But again, like those are, if you want to prioritize your health, then you're going to prioritize it. Like get up an hour earlier. And these are just things that we got to do, right? So definitely going to get back into juicing. I primarily like to juice more in the summer, which we're coming more into winter and like fall and winter. And our bodies tend to like need more like warm foods like chilies and stews.
I had chili last night.
So good. But yeah, I did some juicing this summer, but not as much as I would have liked.
Okay, so that's something we both want to do. Do you have another one, Kale, that you want to say that you really just want to start doing more often?
Breath work.
Oh my God, this is the perfect paveway to the next and final segment of this podcast, which is everybody has access to the most simple things. As I said before, everybody has these things. They are God-given. They are part of our everyday, and we're going to touch base on them. And the number one thing before I get into breath work is sunlight, okay? I'm saying sunlight first for a reason, and we'll get there. But sun, we have been blessed with what's called first light. So that's in the first beginnings of when the sun begins to rise. There's no UVA or UVBs at all in the sunlight. It's this very, very special time. So if you get out there at this time, you're going to get all that good vitamin D, but you're not going to get affected in any harms from the UV light and the UV rays. Sorry. So first light, if you could wake up early, another reason why I'm like a firm believer in waking up early. And it also helps regulate your circadian rhythm, which is your 24-hour clock that your body has to help regulate your alertness and all these things. So literally just being in the sun helps regulate all of that, and your cortisol, which if you didn't know, cortisol is an essential hormone that affects every tissue and organ in your body. So it helps regulate that too, just from sitting in the sun. Like to me, that's like, wow, all of that just from like stepping outside, it seems pretty crazy.
I feel like just thinking about that like makes me feel calm and peaceful.
I know, it's like, you know, it's like so simple. So number one, sunlight. We can all do that.
Yeah.
Number two, grounding. Okay. So maybe sunlight while you're grounding. So most of your red blood cells, if you actually were to prick your finger or something and you used a microscope, you can actually buy them for like $400 on Amazon. And then you looked at under a microscope, you would see that all your red blood cells are clumped together which means they don't have a whole lot of surface area moving around your body. So as soon as you step foot onto the earth, it actually releases an electric charge. I'm still learning it, but it basically balances your entire pH in your body when you go out because it releases an electric charge and it makes you all balanced.
Barefoot.
Yeah, and I wrote this down because this is all still astounding new stuff that I'm learning, but on the surface of your red blood cell, you have a charge. So if you guys remember way back in like grade 7 science, you learned that everything in life has a positive or a negative charge. Opposites attract. So they have the same, and if they have the same charge, they can't touch. Same with if you think of a battery, like they can't touch when they have the same charge. It's the opposites that attract. So when you go to the earth, you ground your foot into, you know, sand or dirt or just the grass, it'll make everything balanced out again. And what this does is it makes you lose that, you gain that surface area back for your cells because they start to spread out again. And if you were to look at your blood cells on a, under a microscope after you grounded your feet in the earth, you would see that they're more spread out. So when they're clumped together, think of it as too many cars trying to get off at the same exit. It's clumped together. It's not good. Your cells should always be free flowing and moving and around. And the more you do that, the better your body is at eliminating and waste in your body, detoxifying your body, and just repairing everything, because that's what your cells do. So grounding your feet in the earth, in the sun, and then last but definitely not least, I've been astounded at breath work lately. Gary Brecka talks so much about breath work. I will reference him a lot in this podcast because I just love his work. But Carly, you say you do breath work. I do it a little bit here and there, but again, one of those things that I want to do more often.
Yeah. No, it is like something, if you notice, just notice like every day how you're breathing. Like when you're in stressful situations, when you're not feeling good, like just sit there for a moment and notice, like, are you breathing and your shoulders are up? Are you stressed? Are you breathing just in your chest and not your belly? Like, mm-hmm. Right? Like it's just becoming like self-aware of like,
yeah,
in every situation, like how are we breathing? And if I'm ever like stressed out, overwhelmed from like my kids, if it's just becoming too much, I'll literally just close my eyes and sit there and just take three deep belly breaths. Let's do it right now. Like even just doing one, how like doesn't that just bring you back to alignment? Like
just even doing a couple, like, and yeah, just focus while you're doing it and try not to think about. So Gary Brecka says to take, so he says to do this for the within the first 30 minutes of waking up. So the sunlight, your foot's grounding, you start your breath work. He does 3 rounds of 30 deep breaths. He says it only takes him about 8 minutes, but you can start by just doing 3 rounds of 5 breaths and each day add a breath. And he says to do it like breathe obnoxiously. Like he wants you to activate your diaphragm here, your intercostals, like your lobes of your lungs, like all every part here you're supposed to activate, and kind of that changes your posture a little bit when you do that. Like, and he also said that 95% of women and men over the age of 30 will never sprint again a day in their life. And that's because it's uncomfortable. You have to put you're using every one of those muscles in your lungs and every part of your diaphragm when you're sprinting, because that's what's required. But when you go for a jog, how do you feel after you jog, Kale?
Amazing.
You energized. Feel amazing.
That's like what we teach in yoga too. Like I am a certified yoga teacher. I haven't done it in a bit, but when I would that's be awesome. Teaching,
I forgot you were a certified yoga teacher.
I've done a lot of things. That's but, sweet. When we're like teaching yoga, when I'm teaching yoga, like I would prompt people to, when they take a deep breath, like breathe. Like I want them to visually like and do it, like breathe into your back body, like breathe. Like when we're side bending, it's like, okay, let's breathe into our rib cage, breathe into your lungs, like feel everything expanding and opening up. And you can really feel it like happening when you're doing it.
That's so sick. I freaking love it. And again, God given. We all have breath. We can all
these
do
things
this.
We're talking about, like, for the most part, are free.
They're free.
And, like, just to even get up in the morning, go outside, plant your feet in the earth.
In the sun,
and breathe.
All at the same time. And that's why I said those things in the order.
Let's commit
that I did.
To doing that for the next week, you and I.
And we're going to challenge people.
For the next 7 days, non-negotiable.
Lauren, I'm challenging you. The challenge is coming your way. Yeah, so just 4 to 8 minutes a day and you will set yourself up for success. So guys, this is the most mind-blowing part of breath work that I was like, whoa. So all of the elevated emotions that we experience, so joy, happiness, arousal, your libido, all of those good, all of those things require oxygen. If you look at the molecular structure of these emotions, oxygen is a part of every single one. And this is why you feel great when you run. And this is why when you wake up in the morning, you won't laugh when you wake up in the morning. You're more than likely to wake up grumpy than you would wake up laughing, because when you're in a sleeping state, you don't need to use all of your diaphragm to breathe in that way. You're just breathing like this when you sleep. Little breaths. So because you're not pumping oxygen aggressively through your body like you would when you're sprinting or just exercising regularly, that is why you cannot wake up laughing. Because anger, that emotion, doesn't require like a lot of oxygen to feel anger. Isn't that mind-blowing? Mm. When I read that, I was like, what?
Yeah, that's wild, yeah.
Like, if Colin pinched you when you were sleeping, wouldn't you be pissed?
I'd punch him in the face.
Yeah, so... Oh my God, we need... That's so funny. So, yeah, he actually... The presence of oxygen is the absence of disease. So most disease... Any disease that you've heard of, cancer, Alzheimer's, if you look down to the root cause, and you almost always see a lack of oxygen in these states of sickness.
And like an acidic state, right? Like, yeah, these diseases can't thrive and live in an alkaline state. And so if you're sick, you need to focus on getting the body back into a more alkaline state.
Yeah. And we'll do a whole episode on just and pH balance.
Just throwing this out there. But negative thoughts create an acidic environment. And yeah. Positive thoughts create an alkaline environment. And so just keep that in mind. Your thoughts do affect your biology.
Yeah, and this is why we all have to work to rewire our brain and doing the things that make us uncomfortable, because the more you do it, the more neuron pathways go through the brain on that particular thing that you're doing, and then it becomes second nature if you keep doing it. And this is what we touched on in our first episode, all about motivation. Yeah. And
bada boom, bada bing.
Bada boom, bada bing, bada bing, bada bing. And then, yeah, so cancer, if you guys didn't know, it's a lack of oxygen in the cells. So I say cancer because that's, you know, an extreme sickness that unfortunately is like very, very prevalent in today's day and age. And I just think that a lot of people get this because over time they're not doing things like what we just said, or they're not exercising. It's not just like one day you woke up and you had cancer. It's always a slow progression of something that you did or didn't do that got you to that point. So if you just incorporate these very, at least the sunlight, the breath work, and the grounding, and believe me, I don't do that regularly. So most people don't. So today, hopefully from this, maybe you could all try to do this.
Because, do it with us for the next 7 days.
Yeah, do it with us 7 days and just evaluate how you feel. How are your stress levels? How are you managing your time? Like, even you're supposed to help even with your short-term memory recall, which I think I need, because sometimes I forget things.
Call even me. Like, yeah, you know, like, and knowing kind of like the science and how this stuff like works is great, but mm-hmm. even just go and do it and notice how you feel, because just become self-aware. If you like, it's good to know like the facts and how these things work, but actually go and do it and just notice, like tune into your body and see how you feel.
Don't know yourself, learn yourself. So yes. Yeah, that we've covered everything. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. Kale, yes. Would you like any final words? Are you ready to wrap
it up? I'm just so excited to do, I'm good to wrap it up, but I'm just so excited to go and do this grounding breath work sunlight thing for the next 7 days. Like, I'm actually really excited to do that.
I don't have grass. I live in a new development, so I have a mud pit for a front yard and a backyard. They do have these mats that you can buy. Not sure exactly how much they are, but...
the grounding mats? Yeah, I think you can get ones for fairly cheap. Yeah.
Some people live in high-rise condos and they don't have easy access to just go outside in the grass, so there are ways that you can, but... And it doesn't mean you have to do it first thing in the morning, but you can do it at any point of the day and just release that electric charge, bring your body back to balance, and amazing things will happen if you do these small, simple practices every single day. So thank you so much for listening. We hope we've given you some valuable information to help you feel a motivation to upgrade your life in any sort of way.
And thank you. Have a great one.
Okay, we're done.